the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is a Women in AV podcast with AV Nation TV, women of color and diversity. Welcome, everybody. My name is Jennifer Willard with Women in AV, and I'm so pleased to have you join us today. We have two of the most fabulous guests. We've been, you know, wanting to have this podcast for a long time, and we're going to talk about diversity, women of color, and what that all means for the AV industry. So I'm really thrilled to welcome with us today Alexis LeRoy. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
How are you? I'm so excited to have you.
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Perfect. Alexis, for folks that don't know, she was our first Woman in AV inaugural mentor award winner in 2012 when we gave that out at Infocom Orlando. So we've known each other a long time, and that was when you were with AVI SPL.
I was, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. fantastic. That was really great. I was so excited to see you win that because, you know, it was just as somebody like, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you see like certain people that like, you know, or like, you know, are on social or things like that. And it was like, it was just so exciting to see that people really got into that and, you know, how much you did with the mentoring and mm-hmm. really giving back to your community. And, you know, you've done that throughout the years, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you, and so we'll get into that with the diversity and things like that. Right. But you know, I was just not so excited. Great. And even more, I'm excited for the first time meeting her. We have Charmaine Torella, and she is a manager at Varex with their managed services. So hi, Charmaine, how are you?
Hi, Jennifer. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Great. We're so excited to have you. And, you know, something really awesome about you that, you know, I can't wait to hear more about is that you are the chairperson of the newly launched in 2018 of VIXA Diversity Council.
Yes, that is correct. Newly launched in 2018, going strong with a lot of things that we're doing. So I'm excited to tell it all.
Yes, that's great. That's really one of, you know, I mean, if, as I understand it, I mean, that really is the first industry-wide, you know, diversity initiative that we've really had. So I'm, you know, I'm really looking forward to everybody like hearing more about it and, you know, what your goals and your missions are and things like that. So great. Let's go. Let's get into it. All right. Diversity. One of the things that's really interesting as a commercial integrator, they have, you know, put out for the last couple of years, you know, diversity and things like that. We've had the Women in AV since 2011 and kind of created our own female sort of movement, but diversity hasn't, just across all of high tech and technology, hasn't really been, you know, sort of a forefront priority for a lot of people until these last couple of years. And so Commercial Integrator, who's a, you know, a magazine in our industry, has actually worked with NSCA the last couple of years to put out some statistics. You know, not just only about like gender, but, you know, about race and, you know, different kinds of age and things like that in our industry to sort of get the feel of the state of the AV and what it is. And I don't think that the statistics are really kind of surprising, but, you know, we're very white male dominated, mid-40s to 50s. So that's kind of the prevailing demographic that we have in our industry. So I just really would love to hear from both of you, just first and foremost, you know, how was it that you got into the AV industry and what is it about technology that, you know, really, in, you know, excited you and, you know, brought you to a place where, typically speaking, both from, you know, a gender, but also from, you know, a minority perspective, you know, that's not necessarily something that's across the board. So Alexis, why don't you start?
Sure. For me, I started in the industry in live events. When I went to college, I worked, I was a theater major, and I never really wanted to be on stage. I always wanted to be hanging lights and setting up the sound. And this is before video was as prevalent, you know, 25, five almost years ago. but
you do meet one of the groups.
Yes. I've had to kind of move with the times, but so I started in theater, and I just loved working behind the scenes. I did stage management. I did all that stuff, and I just loved it. So when I graduated, I looked for positions, and those positions seemed to take me into live events in hotels. So PSAV, Swank, AVISPL, I worked in live events for all of those companies, and from a technician to a director to sales, and you know, the last 4 or 5 years or so, I've made a switch into integration. So it's been different. It's been a journey, but it's been great. And one of the things that I'll talk about as we go on today is, you know, audiovisual is more encompassing than just an integration. And I think we forget that sometimes, because there are a lot of diverse people on the live events side than there are on the integration side. So
yeah,
I'll come back to that, but that's been my experience.
Oh, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Charmaine?
Wow. I got started, in telecommunications and IT originally. So dealing with phone lines, phone service, PBX Centrix, and video came about. So I was providing the network for it. And then customers were asking me to provide the box, whether that was Tamberg at the time or RadVision at the time. You know, those are some oldies, but you know, they've changed. And then they say, oh, okay, great. Can you integrate it for me? I was like, okay, let me look into that. And that's how I got into integration. Mm-hmm. Now, as the technology started to evolve from just using audio and telephones, I evolved with it and started doing the full-on AV integration. I've been doing that for a long time, I guess. Technology since 1998 mm-hmm. until now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a long time. And
those were the picture tells. I'll throw in an oldie. Those when I started, it was with the picture tells.
Picture tell, right, which became Polycom. So, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we kind of evolved with all the technologies, the change, the needs. Now we're going into more collaboration, cloud collaboration services, and, you know, soft clients, video clients now, Zoom and all of that, you know, is really becoming very relevant to clients. And so there's a lot of service that's needed for that. And now clients realize, yeah, we need help with service. So that's why I came on board with Varex to really, you know, help with all the services that surround the AV and some IT stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty much how I got into it.
Oh, that's really great. So it's really cool to hear that, you know, as both of you have, you know, gone forward, you've continued to evolve both yourself and you know, embrace new technologies, but also, you know, embrace new kinds of work. You know, when you talked to Alexis about the live production and now coming to systems sort of integration and you're a systems consultant, you know, and same thing with you, Charmaine, you are, you know, with services, with telecom, with the audio, then you moved into sort of the video. And now, you know, you also are with an actual integrator, you know, that's doing that actual work. So I'm interested to, you know, I don't want to get too much off topic, but I'm interested, and maybe this can go back to Alexis, what you were saying when you mentioned about how live production is, you know, more diverse. So as you've sort of evolved, what has been your experience, you know, both from a female's perspective, but also from, you know, being a minority in a technology industry?
Sure. Well, I would say that when I started in live events, I mean, I graduated from high school, and the theater production teacher didn't want to teach the girls initially how to build flats and how to do, you know, make the sets. And, he didn't want us in a class, and we pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, and he finally came.
I'm telling you no. Going
I mean, very well. When you're 16 or 17, you don't, you know, you do, you know, that was a long time ago, but, you know, so going from having that, where you're told, no, you can't do something, you know, there weren't that many of us in the industry, in the live events industry even, you know, and, I remember, this is all old stuff, so I'm not going to go into that old story, but, in live events, there started to be more, you know, more and more women, at least, that were in that industry, and there were definitely more people of color in that industry. And, I don't know, you know, doing hotel AV, I think people look down on it. But if you look at some of the productions that people are putting in hotels and conference centers, convention centers, they're pretty extensive. And that requires people who know what they're doing. And it requires people, it's not like integration where, you know, oh, I can come back tomorrow and fix this problem. You've got to fix it right then,
right.
Or the show will not go on.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, there were more and more women and people of color in that industry. And I think that as integrators are looking for people, whoever they're looking at, I have always said, you need to look at that industry and pull some of the people from that industry to come into our industry. There's so many opportunities in integration, and I think people just on that side of it, maybe they don't know about it, or, you know, they're not ready to do it. But it was great for me because if I work at night or if I work on the weekend, it's not because I have to be there for a show. It's because I'm working at home and doing some work at home. So it's definitely been great for me.
So, but is it fair to say that, you know, as you've moved over to sort of the integration, you know, what would be considered, I guess, called the professional, like the pro AV side of it, you've seen less people of color and minorities and females?
Absolutely. You go to a trade show and it's pretty obvious that you can pick out on one hand or two hands, one hand, the number of women of color. And maybe two hands, the number of people of color, you know, and men and women. So it's tricky. And I think a lot of people don't understand what's the big deal. But they also don't notice because it's not their experience. So, you know, whenever I've said, you know, oh, well, if I'm meeting somebody at an event like that, I'll make a joke and I'll just say, oh, well, I'm one of the only 6 foot tall women in the room, you know, and it's my joke.
That's true though.
it's also true probably, but, you know, there's some other things that make you stand out in the room if you're meeting me for the first time.
Yeah, I hear you. How about you, Charmaine? Has that been sort of your experience as well? Maybe coming from sort of, you know, the telecom side to AV, just generally speaking?
Well, yeah, the telecom and IT side. So with the telecom side, what is more minorities? Absolutely. And the telecom side, that is absolutely the case and very correct. But more so more diversity in the IT side. So the IT, it's pretty different. So on the telecom side, yes, you have a lot more women of color, men of color. And it's kind of pretty, you know, evenly distributed. The IT side, you have a lot of diversity, more, you know, Latin, more women in general on the IT side. So you see a lot more women on the IT side. So coming from those two worlds, I'm saying, oh, okay, now I'm going to AV. And it was like, so go back. Going to AV, especially in the New York City region where I sit, that is basically you got two types of men, Italian, Jewish, that was it. And that's all you had. And it's like, okay. And you're looking around for anything, you know, else different, and you're trying to figure out how you would fit in. And, you know, the first thing I had to do is sit back and observe. like an anthropologist and figure this culture out, right? And just, okay, how, okay. They like food. Yay, so do I. They like, yay, so do I.
Donuts.
Donuts. Bagels. All right, yay, me too. Right. So then, and found out that a lot of them came from a musical background because most people that came into the AV industry were roadies. It was like, oh, yay. Okay, there I go. And that's how we had, you know, I had to kind of figure out how to assimilate into that environment. But the hardest thing was, you know, learning how to get the respect in the AV industry. And interestingly enough, that came from my father, who was a general contractor in New York, who, you know, being on site, I see how they talk amongst each other. You know, the GC guys, they're like, yeah, and they stand up and they respect that. So that's pretty much what I had to do. So it's just more of a, yeah, no, no, that's it. No, no, that, you know, just do the same kind of, and they're like, oh, okay, she can hang. It's like, okay. So it took a little bit of time, but I learned how to, and I'm still learning. It's still, you know, it's changing in our AV industry. There are more diversity coming in, but not as much as it should be. And that affects the clients that we deal with. The clients that we deal with are very diverse. You know, when you talk about the financial industry, hospitality industry, the healthcare industry, their decision makers really, really diverse. And they're looking for, you know, the person that's more like them, the Black woman, the Black man, the minority, men, women, the person that's disabled, the person that's like them, to identify with their train of thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're agreeing, Alexis.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a meeting, and first of all, it was a surprise or maybe a little shock. And then it was, oh, okay, yes, you know what you're talking about. We're speaking the same language. And then the other times it's, oh my gosh, you look like me, you know, let's talk about it from a different perspective, you know. So absolutely, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And also, what's interesting enough right now is a lot of the older white males in our industry are looking for diverse thought. They're not looking for the same old anymore, especially the millennials that are becoming decision makers. They're like, oh, well, we want something else. You know, you tell me, Charmaine, what do you think? Or Alexis, mm-hmm. you tell me. Now, we heard that before from him, and now we want to hear something else. Wow. So that's starting to happen a lot. And the industry is not reflecting that in the workers that it has right now.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, one of the things, you know, that I wanted to ask about, and, you know, I think this kind of goes to, you know, the point that you make earlier, Alexis, about how you make a joke about being, 6 foot. Are you really 6 feet tall? No, sorry.
Almost. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because, and, you know, I'm really excited to, you know, to hear Charmaine about, like, you know, the efforts that you're doing, you know, with the diversity and what you want to accomplish. But one of the actual articles that I saw about that was the feedback that you had gotten, and, you know, and I had read sort of some of these comments, and, you know, it was, I don't think they realized it, but it was like, you know, why do we need a diversity group? And, you know, speaking to this sort of, if you're not somebody who's affected by something, you know, I mean, your awareness levels are, you know, are pretty low, in, you know, for the most part. I think, you know, in my mind, you know, when I read something like that, I want to give somebody the benefit of the doubt and, you know, say, well, thank you for, you just made exactly the point as to why we need a diversity council. You know, I mean, because you don't really sort of like, that's not a priority for you of understanding things. But, you know, have you experienced that, Alexis, like, you know, sort of on a personal level, like, you know, maybe some resistance from people? And, I find our industry typically, and I always say it's maybe because we're service oriented, we're a lot more just on personal collegial levels, like, you know, open to different people and different experiences and, you know, welcoming. But, you know, do you experience on a person-to-person level, you know, a lot of resistance? And or what is something that you would offer as advice to somebody that would, say, be in the majority, you know, that's not in there? Like, how do we approach, you know, if we care about something like that? You know what I mean? It's because it's like with my emails and with the things that I do, I really take a long time to try to write those because I don't want to say the wrong word. And I don't want to inadvertently sort of offend. So I think that there is a large community of people out there that really might care about these issues. So, you know, talking to the people that don't think that we need a diversity sort of, you know, what's your advice to them as well as to people that, you know, want to be supportive and help you, but don't necessarily know how to?
Sure, sure. Well, I think what you just mentioned as far as thinking about what you say before you say it. So, you know, we all have diarrhea of the mouth sometime and things just pop out. And so I just think being aware of other people, I don't think that we're, in general, the majority of people show empathy or feel empathy for other people in other situations. And I think that something like that would go a long way. And then, you know, everybody has read something that I get mixed up about is if you can understand why we need women in the industry, if you can understand that when women are involved in decision-making positions, that companies do better. I mean, there's evidence of this, and we can attach some of the articles, Harvard Business Review, we can attach some of those that say this. If you believe that, why would you not believe that people of color and people with different abilities, why would you not believe that it would be the same thing? You know, it goes to also what Charmaine was saying about it's different perspectives. A different perspective can give an organization an advantage over other organizations. You know, we've all seen marketing fails where, you know, oh my gosh, I look at a commercial or some new marketing ploy that came out, and it's like, if only you had a woman in the room, you would have known that wasn't a good idea. Like a pink ink pen or, you know, something that's supposed to be geared toward women, you know, mm-hmm. Or if only you had a person of color in the room, you would have known that was a horrible decision. That was a mm-hmm. horrible decision. You should not have done that. So I don't understand why people are not, you know, don't show empathy and can't understand. And it's not to say, you know, you need to go out and find, a black person, a Latino person. It's not to say that you need to go out to find these people to fill your positions. It's just to say you need to find people who can do the job of all ethnic diversity of all makeups. And I think that's the problem. You know, if you only go to this one place and everybody there looks the same as you and that's how you find your talent, that's the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And kind of to add into that, so yeah, the whys, you know, the why people don't think about it. The one thing I learned about the AV industry, very incestuous and it's very organic.
It is.
So throughout the years, they, you know, you do the musical chairs, the switching companies and workplaces, and then you go to Infocom and, hey, you're here now. Hey, you're here now. Hey, hey,
with
hey.
A different
hey.
Shirt.
And here's a different shirt. And it's the same for the majority, a good part of the industry, a lot of the people that started it, family-owned businesses, homegrown. They've involved, you know, invested, their families invested in it, their friends, and they keep it within that niche. And so for them to factor someone else on the outside, someone of color, someone that's diverse, a minority, threatens that. So a lot of that, I see that's kind of it's a threat. because it's like, okay, they're going to take away my ability. I was doing great. I had this formula figured out with my industry and my business all these years. And here this person's coming in and they might take that away and start their own business. Well, that's competition. It does happen. But because the industry is so, you know, mom and pop shop mainly, there's a lot of fear. So they don't like to look that way. What they don't understand is that fear is killing their business.
Right.
And that fear, it'll kill your business. If you want to do, if you want to be that small AV integrator or medium sized or even large, and you operate that way with that mindset, your client is looking at you as well, you only do this. You've only done these types of rooms. You don't even do live events. You don't even do broadcast integration. You don't do security. Okay, what else you got? Okay, we got to go to this person. And that's what's happening. They're looking for the companies that have the diversity, the people with the diverse background. Like I said, telecom and IT. And as Alexis said, you know, live events.
Right.
You have a lot of those people that are also taking on AV now. And they're diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So all they have to do is just reach their hands and take AV on. And it's over for a lot of these other companies if they don't reach for these diverse people with that diverse talent and knowledge. So that's kind of, you know, I think the reason why they're not really, they're it's a fair thing. And they, you have to change or it's going to change around you. You know, like Picturetel went to Polycom and Cisco bought out Tamberg. And then RadVision is somewhere, but not really there. But, you know, it changes just like the technology changes. The business models are changing.
Excellent. Yeah, I fully agree. And, you know, one of the, I find that just, you know, sort of generally speaking, a lot of the things I've been thinking, you know, about recently, you know, with where you see all of these gaming types of, you know, applications, and you see these streaming services, and, you know, a company like Teladoc's, you know, for me, it's like, it's such a big thing because they're doing mobile app delivery of the patient care, you know, so, and that's $400 million that they just took away from our industry in audio and video conferencing services.
Mm.
So just the actual, like, sort of our industry is kind of slow moving when it comes to just wanting to change generally, but people such as like John Green with New Era Technology, I mean, he's adapting, you know, he's being successful and he's continuing to stay relevant because he's really in touch with the wider world and how quickly that's moving, and his business is continuing to stay up. So, you know, I think that's really, really great advice. You know, kind of, you know, switching then sort of a little bit to the other side, you know, from somebody, you know, that is, you know, a woman and or a minority, you know, that's looking at getting involved in, you know, a career in AV, when they sort of look at the industry and, you know, to the point, you know, sort of been making throughout, it's like, well, okay, I see one person like me, you know, or, you know, another, like, what, you know, what is it that we as an industry can do to, you know, really sort of reach out to more women of color, more minorities? I know that we have like some programs, you know, that are starting with, you know, NSCA, and then AVIXA has, you know, an internship program and things like that. I know with the, from just certainly from our organization, over the last, since 2011, we've unequivocally have changed the perception of what it means to be a woman in AV, I believe. You know, we can go back to the booth babes that, you know, now we have, I call them booth dudes. At, like this last year's show, I was so thrilled that we had like a dude that was dressed up, you know? So we've definitely moved that needle, but even like, you know, according to like CI, and I think it was just on the integrator side, like we're still hovering around 12% women, which I was thought maybe we'd have even a little bit more than that. So, you know, how, like, how's an industry are we going to, you know, and I don't know if you wanted to start talking about like the diversity council, but just generally sort of speaking, what are some of the things that we can do to really reach out? Charmaine, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Like a lot of things that we're working on in the diversity council in order to reach out is we have three main agendas, right? To make it more advantageous for minorities to come to us and say, yeah, we want to be a part of this. We have the education mentorship committee within the council. which is really helping us to, you know, develop the guidelines, the right educational path, so that we can, you know, send that out to tech schools, not just tech schools, you know, adults who are working in other industries that might be in a roadblock or stuck and not going anywhere, to kind of reach out to the people who work at electronic stores like Best Buy. I mean, they're good candidates to come into our industry and really just, you know, take on this education, which is not really formalized. That's the other thing. They're not going to have to spend a ton of money as you would if you had to go to a university. It's just having the direction of what do I have to learn to be in this industry. So that's what we're working on with that education mentoring committee, and helping to mentor those people as to, okay, you should certify in this. You should certify in this DSP, in this control, and learn this. So we're working on that right now. The second committee we have is the communications outreach, in which we're looking to, you know, we're developing our communications now, but we're outreaching on LinkedIn and also outreaching through our network. So within our council, other councils like the Women's Council, the Young Professionals Council members, they're also part of those members that are also part of our council. So networking within. Yeah, networking in those councils is what we've been doing a lot of lately, which is really getting the word out and actually getting us more membership and more client membership. That's the big thing. So we're reaching out to clients who are diverse in their industry, diverse decision makers who have joined our council. You know, we're talking about big financial clients, big tech clients that recently joined and said, yeah, we want to be a part of this and we want to push this message, because they're going to be the drivers of driving why diversity is necessary, because they are diverse and they are working in these organizations, and they're going to help, you know, tell, you know, everyone, the vendors, this is what you need, or the manufacturers, this is what we look for. Mm-hmm. And this is what you need to change. And this is why. And that's going to be part of the April 2019 event. And then the event sponsorship committee, which Alexis LeBroy is on that committee. And so she's driving. Yes. Kudos, girl. Okay. Alexis is putting in work with the other members of the committee, but serious work on coming up. We've been doing events recently, and they've been coming up so quickly and organically. We haven't had enough time to even communicate them until after the fact. Like the first event we did was hosted at Verix for Lincoln Tech in New Jersey, where we brought those students before they, you know, before 6 months before graduation, to kind of show them how AV works and do the tour. And then the Fun in the Sign event, which was a collaboration with the Women's Council and the Women of Digital Signage that we had in New York City about a month ago. And, you know, there's just, and now the one that's coming up in the UK with Kevin McLaughlin, who's also right. part of the council, who's going to do that with Sennheiser on hearing impaired technology and the importance of that for your, you know, your work environment. There's a lot more people who have a disability that AV doesn't work to their advantage, right? And it leaves them out. So he speaks to that and, you know, to the clients and manufacturers and why we need to focus on that. So that committee, the event sponsorship, all the committees, that's what we've been doing so far. But we only started in June 2018, so we wanted to make sure that when we really do start pushing out, push out with a bang. So by January 2019, you're going to see a lot more communication on everything, programs, scholarship programs. We're looking into that as well. So things and doing the outreach. We have over 150 members globally so far. And we're talking globally. We're talking in Europe, in Australia, in mm-hmm. India.
And that's just members of the council?
Yes.
And can anybody in the industry be a member of the council?
Yes. Anyone in the industry could be, even outside the industry. We have a few IT people who are not even part of AV that are part of our council, because they're interested, they work together a lot with the AV, you know, world. IT decision makers work a lot with AV people. So we have some IT clients that are part of our council. It's like, yeah, we want to be a part of this, you know, because we want to talk about autism. We want to talk about Black women. We want to talk about Asian workers in AV. They have, you know, initiatives also that they're adding to the pile. So it's this big pile of stuff that we're going to launch out into the world, especially mm-hmm. at InfoComm next year. where we're going to have our own booth.
Oh, so, perfect.
Yeah.
2019 is going to be busy for you.
Yeah, that's why I need people like Alexis to help, because the committees within the council, the committees and everyone that's on it, they have been really putting in that time, that work, and I just thank them for it, because, you know, can't do it by yourself. You're not an island to yourself. And the way we work in the council, we work collectively. Mm-hmm. One of the beautiful things that I love is that we work collectively. And in the beginning, there was some trepidation because, you know, you're dealing with diverse backgrounds that don't understand each other necessarily all the time. Mm-hmm. So people are saying, well, why don't we do it this way? And the women's, I said, yeah, but you got to think about the minority men. They're like, yeah, okay. And they're learning. We're learning with each other, mm-hmm. you know, what's important to each diversity group. That's a beautiful thing when
that
you are together and yeah. then you're putting message out and you're working on things. The committees, you have the committees, if you look at them, they're diverse within themselves, each committee. So you have a diverse group of people in each committee and the council diverse working on these different projects and activities together. Mm-hmm. That's what the world, you know, optimally is what we want to go for, right? So
it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good to be involved in something like that where there are people from lots of different backgrounds. And we are working together. And Charmaine is not going to toot her horn, so I will. She's an amazing leader of the Diversity Council. She keeps us all together, and she keeps us all focused and running smoothly and on task. So I just want to make sure that we say that out loud, too. So she's amazing. Amazing. I mean, it's such a short time, you know, and I think that the people that are involved in the group, more people outside of the council are going to see the things that we're doing, like you said, and, you know, for 2019. But I think, you know, it started with a bang. It really has. And everybody's motivated. Everybody's excited. And we want to push things forward and just show people, just if we can get one person to have a different point of view, you know, at the end of the day, I think that we're going in the right direction. One is going to build into 2, 3, 10, you know, so we're going to get there.
Perfect. So, I mean, you know, that's amazing. And yes, I can't even imagine the effort to bring so many different, you know, perspectives, opinions, and, you know, find a way to come to a better conclusion and outcome. I mean, that's amazing. And, you know, I really look forward to seeing like the progression within it. It sounds to me as if you guys are hopeful, you know, you're both hopeful about, you know, I find this a lot, you know, sort of like with, when it comes to like, you know, the women's thing, again, it's like, you know, we want to try to, you know, we haven't gotten as far as we wanted to get, but we like really let's celebrate the accomplishments that we do have and build from them. So, you know, going into, you know, 2019, Alexis, can you like, you know, tell us like, you know, what is it that's most exciting for you about looking at our industry? Is it that people are really jumping on board? Because again, you know, it's like, I saw that Commercial Integrator has somewhat covered the diversity council for you, but mm-hmm. I haven't necessarily seen, it doesn't seem like I personally just, and because I, you know, those types of things are priorities for me. It's like, I would have thought that everybody sort of would have, you know, really wanted to make sure that this was like out there. And I don't, that might've been, you know, strategic on your part to actually not sort of, you know, push it out until you were ready. But, you know, what are some of the things that you're really excited about? And then what are some of the advice and tips that you can give for people who still might, you know, not really like be on board about like wanting to be like, how can you give them a try?
Well, I would say that pay attention to the upcoming events. We'll have events on our own, and we'll have events that are joint with some of the other councils to attract some people to the organization, to attract people to the council, and just see what we're doing. For me, the volunteering, that part is really rewarding to me. And, you know, I may have a crappy month, but I went to a great event and I met some new people. So next month's going to be better, you know? So, the volunteering is really rewarding to me. And I think that if there are people who want to have a better connection to our industry, who want to practice their leadership skills, who want to be involved in an organization, in a group that's supportive, and we have a common goal, and we'll keep working until we reach that goal, then I think the Diversity Council would be a great fit for them. I would say that, I can't speak for Charmaine, but I can say that there have been a few of the press folks in the industry who have told me that when they started covering this topic, they got so much pushback that they stopped.
Really?
Yeah. So that's disappointing to me in 2018. There are a lot of other things that are disappointing in 2018. But this is something that does make me hopeful. It does make me hopeful, and it gives me a goal. And like I said, if we can get a few people to just change their minds. And again, it's not about, I'm not saying hire this person, whether they're skilled or not. I'm saying open your eyes and hire multiple people who are skilled and who can do what you need to do. They're going to attract other business for you. They're going to give you a different perspective and maybe open up some business, a different business model that you hadn't thought of before.
Awesome.
Yeah, I concur with a lot of that. And to add to that, there are a lot of people who, when this council came out, there's a lot more pushback than people even realize that happened when we first started. So believe me, we've been battling.
I mean, like you said, in 2018, it's just so surprising that...
It is, and it
is. It is, but it's not, for a lot of guys. I think, to the point of, the resistance to change, feeling that you may lose something, by opening yourself up. I think that that's probably, whether it's in the technology industry or just in life, across the board, that's, sort of that mentality that we have to work on, for folks. But,
Yeah, it is and it isn't, but we received a lot of pushback in places you wouldn't even believe me if I told you. But so it's like, really? Like, okay, so what we really do is we kind of drive through it. The good thing is a lot of the feedback we're getting is, people have told me at Avixa, they're like, well, you guys are really moving pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And I said, how fast? Like faster than most of the other councils that started before you. And I said, and they said, why? And kudos to them, because we have a lot of requests of Avixa and they support us. And it's really fast. And it's a pace that they're just, they're keeping up with us and the things that we're getting done. And they asked, why is that? And I say, well, because this is how long it's been that people have been thirsting and hungering for this.
Right.
That's why so fast. People who are part of the council are like, oh, finally, it's here. Okay. We've been waiting long enough. We can't hold back. Mm-hmm. And they're just, now it's unleashed. That energy has been held back for such a long time. They're like, finally, this is, a lot of people, this made me want to stay in AV, because a lot of people were going to leave or have left. And, I was one of those people that I looked and said, should I go back to IT? This is like constant battle. Why? And so when asked to do this, it was like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. This is a reason, as Alexa said before, you have an event, you do a project, you work on it, and it totally reinvigorates everything in your entire perspective as to why you're still in this industry. And at a time when the AV industry is losing a lot of talent, this council is going to help keep that talent. And if they listen to us and heed our message and try to learn about it, we'll help them get talent they didn't expect that would benefit them. So that's what it's going to do.
You know, something that surprised me, Charmaine, and I don't know if this was your experience, but I've had some of the older white men who have been in the industry for a long time. They're the ones that are, they have been super excited about this council. So, you know, that has excited me too, that they see, you know, they've come up to me and said, oh, well, I don't know what we can do, you know, differently, or what do you think, you know? And so we have a whole conversation about it. So I try to keep those conversations in my mind versus the conversations of the naysayers who don't, they're just, you know, they're just a little bit closed off. They just don't see it.
They might be that way in other areas of their lives as well. It might be.
I mean, you know.
But for keep those wins. Make those wins. Yeah, because there are amazing people. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the positive feedback I get is actually from the millennials.
Mm.
The millennials are the ones that are really, yeah, that's right, man. Yeah, let's go. The millennials are the ones that are keeping those conversations. Yeah, we want to hear that, of course. It's not a thought to them. It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Why not? You know, because for them, they grew up, I guess, in their generation, they're used to diversity. They grew up with it. They're that's part of their life. So for them, it's like, yeah, like, duh, you know, come on, you know. So I get, it's the millennials that I've been getting a lot of the positive feedbacks. Then we have a good amount of millennials on our council also of the white persuasion. They're like, yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been really a big driving force, and they're really gung-ho too. They're like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Come, yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Right.
And that's really huge, very huge.
Well, they're used to being poo-pooed too by the older folks in our industry. So,
you have that in common.
Yeah. It's a common ground. I mean, it sucks, but it's a common ground. And
find them.
whatever works, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, ladies, I mean, you know, I just can't thank you enough. Your leadership, you know, in all of these areas. And, you know, if there's one thing, you know, for me that it's like, you know, when people see other people like themselves who are successful, who are driving change, who are not, you know, accepting the things that other people have, that in and of itself is just amazingly encouraging. And, you know, I mean, award winners, you know, we have here award winners, you know, you guys have all, you both have continue to grow your careers, you know, give back to your communities and help other people. You know, I just want to personally take the time to say thank you so much, you know, I mean, from everybody, because it makes such a difference in how much pride as an industry we can take when we have, you know, women and minorities like yourself that, you know, are just really showing what it's like to be the best person that we can be, and that we have, you know, together, collectively, all of us are really just like, you know, the place that people want to, you know, come. So I just wanted to thank you guys both, you know, for your insights, you know, for what you're doing and, you know, your plans for 2019. I mean, Charmaine, like people, like you mentioned, you know, Kevin McLaughlin is, you know, a perfect example of just somebody who, you know, is just an incredible person for anybody in our industry to know. And he's got the event coming up on March 7th. That's going to start it out of the UK. You have yours in New York City in April, 2019. And then, of course, it's going to be at the show. This is for the Diversity Council. Like, what's the best way for people that want to get involved, that want to join you, to, you know, reach out and be part of it?
Easy. Go to AVIXA Diversity Council website, and it'll say, get signed up, get started. Click on that button and sign up for a council. That simple. That's the easiest way. If not, harass me on LinkedIn. That works too. So, the truth is, I get a lot more, I think, and a few of us in the council, we get a lot of requests either via LinkedIn, because we have such a vast network, or just when we go to events and we speak with people. So that's how we're finding a lot of people are interested. But no, harass us on LinkedIn. Yeah. You know, we're part of the council, you know, especially me, I'll be up all night. I don't care. I will reply to everybody. I will always do it, and tell you what we're doing, how to get started. and reach out to you. So
perfect. Thanks. And then Alexis, you know, one of the things that, you know, we cannot fail to mention, you have your DC VCSEL Women's Council that you also lead in your spare time.
Right.
We didn't even get to talk about being AV farmers. You know,
right.
One of the things
I
really
know.
Like, I mean, that was like, you know, we'll have to come back for another one.
Right.
About how to can fruit.
Exactly.
Your eyes. But, you know, I mean, that's an amazing thing. And you're having, you had one of the most amazing panels of end users and, you know, also engineers and everything this past month. But, you know, how can people get in touch with you? And then also, what, you know, do you have any plans for your, you know, first 2019 DC VCSEL Women's Council meeting?
Yeah, sure. So we're planning an event for the end of January. I don't have a date yet. We're also planning an event for the middle of April. I do have a day for that yet, but I don't want to give it out, but it's end of January, end of April, and we're working on those, and so I'll send out some save the dates as soon as we get some more details, but we have some exciting things coming up for that, and it's been cool having the events here in the DC area and all over everywhere, you know. The panel in the beginning of last month, it was amazing. And everybody in the room just was, you know, they just said, one of the ladies that left the event, she said, you know, oh my God, I feel like I could fly after being in this room.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and I said, you know, that is
that's why I do what I do.
That is why we do this. Yeah. So it just, you know, if it picks her up for
singing, I believe I can fly because I'm going to do it.
Yes. It made me feel so good. So it's great to be involved in that too.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, thank you, ladies. I mean, thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your insights and expertise and, you know, keep up your amazing work. I'm looking forward to seeing everything that you guys are going to do in 2019 and, you know, beyond and making the difference, you know, for so many people. So thank you so much and, you know, have a wonderful, happy holiday.
Thanks, Jennifer. You do the same. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
And I hope to meet you soon in person. I know.
No,
if you're coming around my area, but let me know when you do.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. I'm so thrilled to have at least met you finally, Charmaine, and, you know, really just amazing work on, you know, it's, you know, whatever we can do to support you, we're certainly here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us. And, you know, we're really excited for you and all the things that you have coming up in 2019. And, you know, thanks for everybody for tuning in. We wanted to wish you a very happy holiday, you know, from the women in AV. And you can check this out and other AV Nation TV podcasts, news, and blogs on www.avnation.tv. And we'll look forward to seeing you in 2019 with some more fantastic news and updates. Take care.